All right, it is finally Friday. We talk an awful lot about how media savvy our current president is, but have you ever wondered about past presidents, particularly those that we don't have any recollection of, like Abraham Lincoln? He was a manipulator of the media, according to the new book, Lincoln's Lie, A True Civil War Caper Through Fake News, Wall Street, and the White House by Elizabeth Mitchell. She's on the line with us right now. Elizabeth, good morning.
Good morning, Paul.
This is such a little-known part of our Civil War history and our history of Lincoln. How did you stumble onto this story?
Well, I've written three other books, and the last book I wrote was about the adventure to build the Statue of Liberty. It's called Liberty's Torch. When I was doing that research, I found that there was a newspaper that had been purchased at a cut-rate price that was used for the promotion of Liberty's fundraising. And I saw that the reason it was cut-rate was because it had printed a fake story in 1864, and Abraham Lincoln was so furious, he sent in the military and arrested the editors and put the armed forces in the newspaper offices. And that shocked me, so I had to look into it.
Fake news. How did that happen?
That event itself?
Yeah.
Yeah, so basically, you know, it's kind of a dramatic scene. At 3 a.m, there was a 17-year-old boy running through the dark streets of New York delivering this proclamation, and it was on Associated Press paper, and it was in the same handwriting as usually used for the Associated Press. And he delivered it to all these offices, but it was after the editors were gone. So they looked, the printers looked at it and saw that it was a proclamation from the president. It was lamenting how terribly the war was going and was calling for 400,000 more men to go immediately to the front or he would start a draft. And so they had gotten many proclamations from him in the past, and it was just obvious that they had to run it. And so it landed like a bomb in New York.
I bet it absolutely did. And as you said, Lincoln was furious when this got to him, didn't it? Wasn't it?
Amazingly, there was a witness who said it was the most furious he had ever seen Lincoln in his whole presidency. And when you think of everything that went on, yeah. That's saying a lot.
Just a fascinating story. And we always look at these things through the lens of our own experience, so we know what media is like today. I mean, we get several tweets a day from the current president, press briefings, and all the news is pretty instantaneous. Think back to the Civil War. I mean, this was at a time when news had to be hand-delivered. So to correct a false news story would take, you know, hours, if not days, right?
Yes, correcting it could take a while, but this was the thing that really fascinated me. Basically, their telegraph was at the same stage we are with the internet. It had been around for 30 years, but it had suddenly reached ubiquity, and people were using it even for things as minor as, you know, changing a date from going to dinner to going to the opera, you know, in one day. Lincoln was obsessed with it. He would basically sleep at the telegraph office in the War Department, which was the conduit for all wire services throughout the country. And he would monitor everybody's telegrams, and he would send out his own. So there was this worry that even then that the president had this immediate, unfiltered approach to the public. It could not be corrected or fact-checked, and they said, you know, he had the communication like lightning to the public. So it was actually weirdly similar. And a fake news story could spread like wildfire. That was the main thing. You could get it out to all parts of the country and even across the ocean. You know, there was a boat waiting to take the news of the day.
And like you said, he used the military to seize the newspaper presses and basically shut that newspaper down. What other punishment was handed out to the reporters or the editors? Did they end up imprisoned over this?
Well, so he also shut down the telegraph. That was the other thing. I mean, it's kind of amazing to be like shutting off the internet for,
yeah,
you know, 7 days.
Right.
But the thing that makes this story so fascinating, and I kind of wrote it as a whodunit because this is the way I came across the information, it's not quite what it seems to be. So when you first start off, you know, Lincoln's response, what he says, everything else, suggests that it's absolutely fake news start to finish. But in fact, there's more to this story. There is also the fact that it might very well have been a leak of real information, and that was the source of Lincoln's fury. And so the investigation goes into the arrest and punishment of various people, and yet the actual resolution is seems to be something very intimate to the White House itself.
We're talking with Elizabeth Mitchell. Her book is Lincoln's Lie, A True Civil War Caper Through Fake News, Wall Street, and the White House. Who were some of the other characters that emerged in this whodunit?
Well, definitely Mary Todd Lincoln. I mean, she's so fascinating because she was extremely intelligent. She was a very good reader of people. She was deeply compassionate. She would go to the hospital wards and hold the hands of the soldiers who had been injured and were trying to recover. But she also was just racked with insecurities based on the fact that she was from the West, and she thought that the people on the East Coast were going to mock her. And so she went to elaborate lengths to, you know, purchase the goods, you know, the dresses and such that would impress them. And it was quite tragic, and actually it ties very much into you know, the resolution of this story. You know, at the crux of it, there's also this pain that she's going through that that sets events in motion.
Very interesting. I mean, it's hard to uncover new information about Lincoln. I mean, it feels in a lot of ways like, you know, everything has already been written about the Civil War and about Abraham Lincoln. And yet you found new stuff that we don't really know that much about. I mean, the research had to have been very exciting, I would think.
It was very exciting. And the thing that's happening right now that makes this so compelling, because, you know, I'm a journalist by training, and I, or I guess I should say by experience, and I, so I investigate, you know, things that are happening today. But what makes looking into the past so fascinating right now is that so much has been digitized in terms of these small newspapers or, you know, memoirs that we didn't have access to before. And so it's this kind of golden age of rediscovering parts of history because, you know, for example, you would never know what the telegraph agents thought when someone put a sword under their hands and lifted it up to stop them from using the telegraph. You know, when the soldiers came to arrest them as well. But now we know because this stuff is now available to us through digitization.
Yeah, well, you could easily argue the telegraph was as revolutionary then as the internet has been in this era.
Yes, and the other thing that's kind of amazing is that Samuel Morse, who invented the telegraph, he originally thought this was going to be great, that it would knit the country together. And then he suddenly realized what it actually did was revealed the partisan divide between different regions, the, you know, incredible difference of opinions. And so he became a little bit panicked, and he started a society that was meant to reunify the country. It wasn't particularly successful, but I thought it was really interesting that, you know, that they wrestled with the same issues we're having right now.
I'm getting goosebumps here on this, Elizabeth, because it really does, you know, it's what's going on right now. It happened, you know, 150 years ago, and history does repeat itself, doesn't it?
It does. And the one thing I kept feeling when I was doing the research was it's somewhat reassuring because we have this view that we're just, you know, somehow we're the worst that's ever come around, and we're, you know, and how will we get out of this? Because these are all modern inventions, yeah, you know, in terms of the internet and social media. But no, there's a pathway, and there we see heroes in this story too. And they're not necessarily the people in, you know, in the highest office of the land. They're also just, you know, you and me and, yeah, various lawyers and reporters, et cetera.
Yeah, we've survived this before. We'll survive it again. Lincoln's Lie by Elizabeth Mitchell. Elizabeth, thanks for sharing that with us. We appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much for having me
on. Take care. Bye-bye.